till the end of time.
The year Perry Como made Till the End of Time a number one song can be thought of as the beginning of our time, 1945. Hard year to get a handle on.
What is it?
It's about you. Something about your robe.
The forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations.
Till the end of time.
The first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
The battleship Missouri becomes the scene of an unforgettable ceremony marking the complete and formal surrender of Japan.
Rob, I don't understand.
Oh, forgive me. Something struck me.
Till the end of time.
Glimmers of 1945. Hitchcock's movie Spellbound, the bombing of Hiroshima, end of World War II, Perry Como singing there. But in 1945, the United Nations Charter was also signed, the World Bank was formed, the Arab League began, Gandhi and Nehru demanded that all British troops depart India, the independence movement that would create Israel began to gain momentum, the seeds were sown for what became the revolutions in China, Vietnam, and Korea. Talk about the Asian pivot, as we were earlier this hour. There is no pivot away from the history that began in 1945. We're living it today in surprising, nuanced ways, as well as in the obvious ways. Ian Baruma's new book is called Year Zero, A History of 1945. Ian, welcome.
Thank you.
And for you, the idea that 1945 is a year zero is a very personal one in terms of your own family, as well as a rumination on how history and narratives of history can start in a single year.
Yes. I mean, I was born in late 1951, and my generation, our generation, really grew up in the shadow of World War II very much. And in primary school, we heard stories from our teachers of derring do and resistance, mostly entirely phony. So it was a pivotal event, even though we didn't experience it. And my own father told me a lot of stories, and unlike some sons who find stories of their parents' wartime period a bore, I was always very interested in it, and so that's really how it started.
And the themes that you evoke here in this book, Year Zero, run the gamut from really the invention of world government, which is what 1945 is about, the sexual revolution, which in many ways is what 1945 is about, and the invention of globalism on some level. Let's take the sexual revolution first. What do you find in the sort of moral upheavals of 1945 that set the stage for everything that came after?
Well, as women in Saigon and Vietnam can also testify, women of a certain generation, the presence of huge numbers of young men from another country, especially if they have more money and they look smart and slick and so on, are going to have a big impact. And a lot of young women are going to find their ways into their arms, paid or not. And the period just after the war in 1945 in many places with liberating troops and so on was a bit like a huge orgy. And women got out of hand in male eyes. And so there was a sort of moral panic, too, about all these dancings and girls giving themselves away for chocolate and chewing gum and so on and so forth. And so it had a huge impact, and it was very quickly reined in. And I think the conservatism that followed in the late 40s, 50s, in some ways was a sort of reaction to what had happened.
So the backlash really pushed back on the sort of sense of morality out of control, but it also created the seeds for a kind of cultural exchange, a sense of experience something beyond one's narrow kind of view in the silos of Iowa or even France that really began to germinate.
Well, that's true. I mean, we began this section with Perry Como. In some ways, Glenn Miller would have been more appropriate. The liberation of Europe, large parts of Asia, the occupation of Japan and Germany was very much set to the tune of Glenn Miller and jazz, and the world was ready for it. And so America, really, for at least one or two generations, became the place of freedom, of sexual freedom, of jazz, of music, and so on, later of rock and roll, of course.
America's global influence really began in 1945, and the characters who embodied that are people like Douglas MacArthur, who had a role in Japan that we can barely imagine today in terms of the way the Japanese even treated him.
Well, here in America, of course, he's chiefly known for being a wild and autocratic military figure who threatened to use the atom bomb on the Chinese in the Korean War. Japan, he has a very different image because people are so terrified of what might happen, and they were so frightened that the American occupation troops would do to the Japanese what the Japanese had done to the Chinese and other Asians, that the relatively benign U.S. occupation of Japan was an enormous relief. And MacArthur acted as a kind of partly as a kind of Japanese shogun, partly as a father. It was an image very deliberately manipulated. He very rarely showed himself in public. He had almost had the mystique of an emperor. And people were grateful that he'd brought a lot, or he himself didn't, but his administration brought things like democracy, women could vote. Life became gradually better, even though the first years were, of course, incredibly hard.
That kind of influence by an American figure, inconceivable today, yes.
Yes, and he saw it himself in rather messianic terms. I mean, if he'd had his way, all Japanese would have converted to Christianity, which was not on. But he did see it as a kind of religious mission to re-educate the Japanese into becoming American-style Democrats and so on, which they didn't, of course, but nonetheless.
Did humanity overreach in 1945? And in a sense, what we've been living since is a feeling that never again.
Yes. On the other hand, I mean, out of periods of tremendous destruction, you get periods of creation. And the idealism that was also part of 1945, as well as the hunger, the horror and so on, the revenge, the idealism was part of that too. People wanted to build a better world in which these sort of things couldn't happen again, a world that was more equal, more united. One source in my research, a very valuable research was U.S. Army magazine called Yank, written by American soldiers for American soldiers. Well, the politics of Yank were to the left of the Democratic Party today.
And this United Nations General Assembly week really created in the seeds of 1945. Ian Buruma, author of Year Zero, extraordinary book, A History of 1945. Ian, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily workouts are designed to improve memory and attention, dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. It's all at Lumosity.com.